I wanted to speak to you this morning about a divine appointment that happened in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 49, and it has to do with Philip and the Ethiopian, a very familiar passage for a lot of people. Let me back up for a second, too. I wanted to say that our future plans in the school, too, have a lot to do with starting that auditorium as the next phase, and also working at creating the entrance for the school, because it's an area that gets flooded, and we need to have a nice firm entryway and a nice firm way to bring in trucks for construction, as well as when people come to drop off their children and so forth. And so that's it, the direction we're going. We're kind of looking, I've been praying for if there was some men that do that kind of paving, like black top and that sort of thing, that would be considered coming and helping with that, and working with the machines. I would love to talk to you, just to know that we could kind of start to work on that very important part, because we've been flooded out for a couple weeks where we couldn't get any kind of trucks in there, any kind of vehicles in there at all. So just a little something to think about, those that know all about paving and so forth. So, but anyway, let me back up here to and read this passage for you. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road. It's a desert road, and it goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way back, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and the Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near." And Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand," he said, what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of this descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture, and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is some water. Can I stand? What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and your truth that speaks to us in so many different ways, Lord. Our hearts are open, our minds are anxious to hear what you have for us this day. And may it be your words, and may you be your voice that we hear. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I think it's an interesting, it kind of reminds me of what I would call a divine appointment. You know, sometimes we wonder, how in the world did this happen? somebody that you never met before, just all of a sudden you find yourself together, and you have an opportunity to share Christ with them, or to hear their story, and you are able to encourage them in some way. Or perhaps it was something you did, or something you were saying to someone else and they overheard you, and all of a sudden that made a difference in their life, and they came up to you perhaps later. As I mentioned in Sunday school, Lydia was just walking down the street in Irapuato. She was stopped by a lady that lived in the neighborhood, and she wanted to know, how do you have such peace? And she had never met her before in her life, and this was the first thing out of her mouth, because she saw what God was doing in Lydia's life and how it affected her in everything she did, and she wanted to know more about it. And that's what I call a divine appointment. Of course, I had one divine appointment when I met Lydia. That was very much a divine appointment. I think God worked that out. It was a miracle that she said yes to me. But anyway, so that's what I'm talking about when I talk about divine appointments. And here we have Philip, who is going through Samaria, you know, a little bit of background before this chapter. A lot of the Christians have been fleeing Saul from his persecution, and Philip found himself up in Samaria and going through Samaria preaching the good news, and it was a blessing. He was blessing people, and they were coming to Christ. There were healings. So many things were happening. It seemed like the perfect ministry and place to be. But as God would have it, he had other plans for Philip. And so, as we read, there's an angel in this case. I don't know how exactly he appeared or any of the details. We don't know that. But the angel appeared and asked him to go down a desert road. Well, I think one of the things that comes to mind is that, you know, a desert road, you know, just doesn't sound as good as a great ministry that's going on. And why would God even want you to leave that ministry if it's happening all around you and take you someplace that's deserted? But yet Philip in his sensitivity to the Holy Spirit agreed, and he went. And I think sometimes in our own lives we're kind of questioning God and what are you thinking, God, when he asks to just do certain things. I know at one point it would have been that kind of a question that I would have asked God when he first talked to me about going to the mission field. But then we were in a missions conference just like this. And I always thought missionaries at that point were, you know, doctors, translators, very, very specific jobs, teachers, and so forth. And so I wasn't any one of those people. And so through my life, I just, you know, prayed for people, prayed for missionaries, and so forth. But it was in a mission conference at an EMC church there in Duncanville, Texas, which has now changed locations. But I had my first missions conference. And it's just a lot like this. And we were talking to missionaries, and they were there personally, and we could sit with them for a while. We heard them in small groups and so forth. And it was during that time that this one missionary in Papua New Guinea was speaking about, you know, how he and his wife were there to support the translators. They were in charge of the village, the compound, and they looked after the trucks, and they took care of all the different things, engineered the water system and so forth. But yet they also had a wonderful ministry with the local people as well, and they saw many people come to Christ. And God started to speak to my heart, and he said, you know, Bill, you always thought it was your abilities that I was after. But it's not your ability that I need. It's your availability to me. And if you'll say yes to me, I want to use you in a special way. And I never dawned on me that really is what God wants from us. He wants our availability. I'm sorry. He wants our availability at any one moment, because his divine moments and divine appointments come quite often, and we need to be sensitive to them, just like Philip. And so as Philip was down on that road, we don't know how far he went. He started down the road, and different translations, it talks about more like he was on the desert road for a time, and then this caravan came by. At first, I thought, when I read it, I thought, you know, here's this guy in a chariot, and he's reading Isaiah, and he's in this chariot, and he's just going down the road, you know, from Jerusalem. But you have to stop and think that this guy is very important. He's the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia, and he has the ability to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship. And not many people in those days had an actual scroll on their own possession that they could actually take with them and read. And so this person was someone that was very interested in the God of the Jews, and wanted to know more. He wanted to know what he was talking about. So he's coming by, and I just can't imagine that. There's Philip, and here comes this caravan with the treasurer of Ethiopia, and he's in the back. And the Holy Spirit then, as we read further, speaks to him and go get close to his chariot and stay with him. Well, it sounds very nonchalant, but then Philip just takes off. And I think sometimes we need to respond to the Holy Spirit in an urgent way, whereas sometimes it's easy to kind of go, well, yeah, I'll be finished with this in just a moment, or I've really got other things planned first, and miss the actual opportunity that God had for us. And so here's Philip, and he ran to meet this guy and walk alongside of him. And so I just know that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you need to chase the chariot in that moment. You need to run after whatever he's asking you to do, because it's going to bear much fruit in the future. And so here he is walking alongside the chariot and he hears him reading out of Isaiah, and you know, sometimes we kind of feel like, well, I'm not a good speaker, and I don't really have, you know, how do I start all this, you know, if I'm in front of someone, I haven't really memorized a certain plan or the four spiritual laws or anything like that. But you know, as a Christian, as we walk with the Lord, as we continue to dig deeper into his word, and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to strengthen us in our faith, and as we continue to walk with him and have the confidence of God giving us the words that we need when we need it, we can run to the situation as fast as we can, because we know God is with us and he's going to be speaking for us in that time, in that moment. And so Philip was able to ask that simple question, do you understand that? And of course he says, well, how do I understand that? how do I understand that? I don't have anybody to help me. And so he invites Philip up into the chariot, and they're moving, running along, and he starts to read the passage in Isaiah, which actually is a prophecy about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so Philip takes that passage and then uses that and begins to share the good news of Jesus Christ with him. And so, you know, as we prepare ourselves and as we walk in our journey with the Holy Spirit teaching us, and as we continue to grow in him, we're going to find ourselves more sensitive and more available in our prayers and in our day-to-day life to understand and understand that there are people around us that sometimes are ready to talk to us or want to talk to us, or there's a situation we find ourselves in that we didn't realize was part of our day, and it gives us that opportunity to just strike up that conversation, to see the agony that's hiding behind the look that they gave, and the fact that they didn't know what to say to you. And so that's one of the things that we need to continue to remember, that as we go, we need to be prepared to share. We need to be prepared to share, and in our walk with faith, God gives us that preparation. And so as they were going along, they found some water, and it's kind of interesting because they're in a desert, and it's probably not normal to have water in any one place. And so basically, all of a sudden, there's this water when it's needed. And it just kind of reminds me of the fact that God always is there when you need it. God always provides when you need that resource, when you need that help in your life as well. I was sent to a preaching point one time in Mexico, and I was just given some directions. I didn't have a car in that time. We were there in Irapuato. We were fairly new and there in the ministry, working as a ministry team to plant the first church. And there were some preaching points in different places, and they asked me to go to this one. In particular, I'd never been to, and so I'm going. And so I got my bike, put my little recorder on the back because I like to sing and have praise and worship and stuff. So I had a little recording there and some other things, and I went down the road, went across the bridge, across the creek, and up the mountain a little bit, and over to this. They said, go to the soccer field, and then there's an old car that does a junk car at the other end, and that's where we meet. And so I went there, and be there at 5, because that's when we meet. So you got to be there on time. And I'm thinking, on time, okay. I'm not seeing anything happening on time so far here, but I'll do that. And I did. And so I was there. I was standing around, and no one was there. And time went on. I started looking around. People were coming home. A lot of people up in that area. And that's part of, as it turns out, that's part of what became Bella Vista later on, and where God's cabin is. And so I was watching the men coming home from their work on their bikes. The women are hanging clothes up on barbed wire. It makes really good hanging. You can put it over there and it just stays. I wouldn't want to try it at home though. And anyway, I just continued to look around and see what was going on. The sun was going down over the mountain, and I thought, I guess there's nothing going on. In fact, the enemy, the devil, kind of came up to me and said, yeah, there's not much going on here. You don't really need to be here. You came at your time. You told them you would be there on time, and you were. So you can go home and say, well, I was there, and no one showed up. And he went a little bit further, and he said, well, you know, I don't think it's really necessary that you're here at all. I don't know why you and your wife came to Irapuato. I mean, I don't think you're going to make any difference at all. So you might think about just going back to the U.S. And we had this little back and forth kind of thing going, and finally God broke through, and he said, "Why don't you sing, Bill?" And I got the recorder out, turned it on, and started singing some praise and worship songs in Spanish, of course. And as soon as I did that, here came the people out of their homes in different places with their chairs and buckets and things to sit on, and started coming around me and setting up and so forth, and started joining in the song and praising God, and we had church. And God was there. And we had victory. That was a desert moment for me. But God was there. He's everywhere you want to be, and even when you aren't sure you should be there. But he's always there and always comes through. And that was a watershed moment for me in the ministry, and realizing that down there in central Mexico, where we have what we call the circle of silence, it's created in, it's kind of a area in central Mexico with the state of Guanajuato, where Irapuato is, and parts of Jalisco and Aguascalientes, all this central region is very fanatically entrenched in their religious fervor and their superstitious beliefs that they've had for generations. And it's a difficult area to minister in. I mean, people can come, we've had young people come to the Lord and in tremendous ways, and they're so excited they go home and they tell their mom, and for example, and she says, well, that's great, but if you keep going down that path, I won't know who you are. I'll disown you. You need to come back to what we believe. And that's that kind of tension, that kind of friction that makes it a difficult place to minister. But as you go through and you walk through your day, your life, and you live among them, just like in the work teams, just like when the guys came down and worked on the school, we also were up at God's cabin, loving on kids and so forth, people will watch you and see you there and understand there's a difference in your life that the Holy Spirit, they don't know what it is, but that the Holy Spirit has made, and you have a joy in your house, in your life, in your heart that you can't explain except through the Holy Spirit and through God. And they want to know, what is that? What was made those people so different that came for that week and worked so hard, and yet they were loving on people and having a great time? And can you explain that to me? How can I have that same joy that they had? Those are opportunities that Lydia and I and other missionaries have had when work teams come or prayer teams come and they leave after being there for several days, and people that we've been praying for in the neighborhood or down the road or in another town, and they see us, they come up to us, they want to know, what's the difference? What difference do we make? The only difference we can make is when we listen to God, when we listen to the Holy Spirit in our life, when he asks us to go down the desert road and not tell us what we're supposed to do next, but in faith, he gives us the courage to continue that direction, continue down that path, and then tells us to chase the chariot. Go talk to that man. Go talk to that woman. They're hurting, or they want to know more. I've prepared their heart to hear the good news. And so as Philip and the eunuch went down the road, they saw the water, and he wanted to know, why can't I be baptized? Well, of course you can. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he rose from the dead to save us from our sins and conquer death and the grave, then you can be baptized. And so they baptized, he baptized the eunuch, and they came up out of there, and Philip was whisked away and went on his way in another direction, preaching the good news and sharing the joy of the Lord, and the eunuch went on his way. Well, what's the difference? What difference did it make that this one person would find the Lord? I mean, what difference does one person make? What just happens to be in this case, the way that God brought his good news to the people of Ethiopia, and the Coptic Christian Church was born and is still there today. And the good news went with the Ethiopian eunuch, made all the difference in the world. We were in our second church plant, and it's in a military zone of Irapuato. We have a huge military base there, and a lot of military families that live next door. They don't live on the barracks all the time, and so their families are all next door, and it's kind of a pretty packed neighborhood. A lot of things going on that probably shouldn't be going on. Anyway, we were starting a second church, and we would be speaking in the church, and it was in a warehouse we rented, and we had the doors wide open, and it wasn't uncommon on the weekends to have drunks, you know, walking by and so forth, and sometimes they'd come in and be a part of our church for that day. And we had one fellow, his name was Antonio, and he seemed to be more of a regular guy. He was drunk all the time, but he was regular in that he would come inside and enjoy the praise and worship. And so this was another one of those days where I was speaking, and we were having, you know, prayer time, and Antonio kind of missed the worship time, but he still wanted the worship time, so he came in, and he learned a chorus of ours called Alabare. It means I will praise. And so he just would come in. He wouldn't come in quietly. He'd just come in and let you know that he's there. And he'd just say, Alabare, like this. And we knew Antonio was with us once again. And so, the church service was over. And people were going on out the door. We had a van that we were taking some of the kids and their moms home down the street, different streets, because it wasn't always good for them. They needed safety to get back home. And Antonio, usually just left and we didn't know where he went, would go. He just would disappear, just like he came. And this day was different. It was like he was out in the street and he looked lost and hard to decide where he wanted to go. And so as I looked at him, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, take care of this man. Well, I didn't know really what that meant exactly, except I just went and put my arm around him and his arm around my shoulder. And I told Lydia, you know, just go ahead and take the kids home and I'll meet you back here. And so I started down the street. Well, I didn't know where I was going, but I started to ask people. They kind of were looking at us. Here's this gringo, you know, with Antonio and didn't know if the missionary was, you know, partaking with Antonio or not, but hopefully they could see the difference. But we started walking down the street, up one street and down on the other, and people just didn't know who he was or where he lived. And I was trying to find out an address, and finally I started praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, you've got to help me. Where do I go with this man? How far do I have to take this man? And the Lord answered me and he said, how far have I gone with you? And how far have I taken you? Well, Lord, you've never left me. You've always been with me, and you're always going to be faithful to take me where I need to go, to lead me. So I knew what I had to do. I had to find a way to get him home. And so just about that time, someone came by and Antonio kind of greeted him. And so I knew he knew him. And so I stopped him and said, hey, do you know where he lives? Yes, I know where he lives. He's down this way. And so we got there. And this makeshift house, it looked like part of it had burned. And they were re-putting branches and other things up to kind of cover up the part that was damaged. And I knocked on the door and the lady opens the door and she saw Antonio and she's so excited, no! And she rubs and hugs Antonio and she looks across at me, across his shoulder and says, muchas gracias. And she invited me in. And so Antonio went straight to bed and she was in the middle of cooking tortillas on the open fire, and she had a little stove top circle that was made out of a 55-gallon drum top, and she was flipping them over and said, I'm so grateful that you brought my Antonio home to me. You see, I've been praying for 2 days because he's been missing, that God would send somebody to bring my Antonio home to me again. And you are the answer to my prayer. We don't always know what good that we have done with a person or to a person in the name of Jesus. We may never know the whole story. But just like Philip, we need to be attentive to God's leading. We need to be anxious and take action when it's time. And we need to be prepared to share the good news. Share it in joy, share it with passion, and let them know what a difference our Savior can make in their life. As I look around today, it's exciting to see each and every one of you because I know that you all represent answers to people's future prayers. Or answers to their prayers right now, just waiting for God to act. And you might be the one to be a part of that divine appointment that God will use to make a difference in someone's life, whether it's with a cup of water, another pair of shoes, an understanding listen and a hug and an opportunity to help them understand what they're reading in the Bible and how God loves them so much he wants to live inside of them and commune with them and have a relationship with them and empower them as they've empowered you. So as we go today, let's just remember that God is ready to use you at any moment. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Are we sensitive to what he has for us? Because he has a lot in store for us. That's for sure. And that's the exciting part. We just need to be available and listening and prepared when he says go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to hear from your Spirit today. Thank you so much for how you've worked in our hearts and lives and made such a difference. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you have spoken to our hearts and continue to speak to us, Lord, throughout this week and throughout this month and beyond about all that you have in store for us and your guidance and your direction, Lord. We just give you praise and thanks that you want to use us. It's not our abilities that you need. We get that. It's our availability, Lord. And we are available to you this day. Use us, Father, for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.